Hello, welcome to today's podcast. I am so excited and so honored to have Dani on the podcast today. She is an incredible human being, but also an incredible leader and teacher, specifically in the field of how can you lead with integrity. And she is, the way that she talks is, I'm like, oh my God, I understand everything now. So she breaks us in this podcast. She breaks how she leads with integrity. And she has a certain framework that she uses called ICONIC. And it is an acronym. And she will explain a little bit more about it. And I would definitely say that we should have paid a lot of money to hear what she is speaking on, because it opened my eyes to a lot of the things that I may have been doing or that I have done in the past. And we just talked about that. How do you lead with integrity? How do you lead without overstepping people's boundaries? How do you lead while also asking for consent? These are some huge things I believe in the world of not only spirituality, but in the world of coaching, in the world of healers, in the world of teaching, specifically in this online communities, is that we must learn how we can give and receive consent, how we can lead with integrity. And this podcast really, really opens your eyes to all of the beautiful ways that you can offer your service while being integrity. So welcome to today's podcast. I am so incredibly excited. I will post some links down in the podcast description of how you can reach out to Dani, how you can work with her, or at least how you can listen even further into what ICONIC is and how she is able to create all of the beautiful things that she has and run her business in a way that is complete alignment with her values. And we hope that after listening to this, you also can begin to create a framework for yourself so that you're leading with integrity as well.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited because I have a friend here, Dani, and I'm so excited for you to meet her. I'm so excited to talk, and I want to have her introduce her style a little bit and introduce herself a little bit. So here you go.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I'm Dani D. You guys can call me Dani because we're friends. That's what I always say when I teach. I'm like, don't call me Danielle, call me Dani D because we're besties now. And I'm a voice and leadership specialist. I work with entrepreneurs to really help them own the F out of who they are online and offline. I also have the honor and privilege to work with a lot of artists and creatives. And I've taught kids theater and confidence for a long, long time outside of the entrepreneurial space. I've also taught special effects makeup for over 10 years outside the entrepreneurial space. So I have a lot of leadership and guidance training outside of the online space, which is interesting to me because when I started on the online space, I had my outside career-ish and my online career very separate. It was, and that's when you actually met me. That was the very first retreat where we had a mentor, Taylor Lee. Now she literally said, like, why don't you talk about this stuff? Like, you never talk about this stuff. And I'm like, oh, we don't talk about this stuff on the internet. We only talk about this stuff outside the internet, guys. But now I've really cultivated a unique brand that takes all different areas and parts of me and puts it into one brand. So if anyone's listening and they also have ADHD and they've done so many things in their life and they are doing so many things and their skill set is like so vast and it feels like it doesn't make any sense, you can do it all, and you can do it all boldly, loudly, and unapologetically. So that's what I do. And I teach leadership from a stance of human first, holding space for all of your expression and being really loud about who you are, no matter what that sounds like or feels like.
That like just like was like hitting my heart. Like you just introducing yourself, like I can't wait for the rest of this conversation, but just like introducing yourself. And it was such an honor to meet you. I think that was 4 years ago.
Isn't that wild? The difference that time makes, man. Like,
yeah, I feel like a completely different person. You are.
Yeah. And you saw me at like the I would say turning point, which is really interesting because even if you look at like sometimes for anyone who might see my social medias eventually, sometimes I'll do videos of like before and afters of when I was really separating myself. So I really put myself into compartments in my life. My entire identity was compartmentalized to online Danny and offline Danny. And offline Danny was this artist and creative who literally came out of the womb, jazz hands first, went into theater, like have been in audition rooms since I was about 8 years old. Like that whole lifestyle of expression and a whole different layer of needing to conform to fit the standards of society. And then that was my offline persona. And then my online persona was, how professional can I be? And subjectively professional. So that literally meant, okay, cool. Offline, I was like a freaking confetti blast. And then online, I was like, how much rose gold can I fit into one brand? Like it was so different. And it was interesting because you met me at that turning point where I was starting to kind of let glimpses of me out and talk about things and be a little bit more outspoken and not as just focused on who has the best results in the room that I can learn from. Like I really, since then, will say, and you've probably noticed that because you met me literally in person during that time and watched my online journey, that I went from being like, okay, who's like the most popular in the room that I can listen to and try to copy everything that they do versus now, which is very much like, I know my shit, I know myself, I'm good. And I'm more than willing to learn from others and I love to learn. And also I recognize the value in what I bring to the table, regardless of who I'm following, who's in my sphere or whatever. I bring in a unique structure of professional training, or I guess you could say like career-wise, educational, traditional and non-traditional, my lived experience and just who I am as a person to the table. And that's the value that I bring to every single room that is an asset. And each of you have that. It's just really interesting that you got to watch my own transformation with that and then see what I teach now. Like yes. You watched it happen.
I watched it happen. And I feel like you did the same for me. Cause I know when you met me, I was very shy, just like, did not want to talk to anybody. I was in total transition, same space, right? Same space, different face type of thing. And it was the idea of that, of like, okay, I am not this person online, like as I am offline. And then you meet someone in person and you're like, you're actually a lot fucking cooler in person than you present yourself to be online. Why don't I actually know who you are?
Yes, you are so much cooler than who you're pretending to be. And I will never forget I think about you all the time. It's gonna sound really creepy, but I think about you all the time, every single time I put my feet in the grass, because I will never forget the one time at the retreat where we were talking about how, well, I'm like a very airy person. Like I'm just like up in the air and like, I'm like a little squirrel and I'm an energizer bunny. And it's really hard for me to ground down because sometimes it can feel like captivity for me to be like grounded and just secure and safe and stuff feels almost like captivity. And I remember you were like, well, just like, let's just go put our feet in the dirt. And I was like, what? And you were like, let's just go put our feet in the dirt. And I was like, okay. And then we like go outside in the backyard and we just put our feet in the dirt. And I think about it all the time because anytime I'm like walking and it's summer because I live in Canada, so it's freaking cold all the time. But anytime in summer, I'm like, I'm just gonna go put my feet in the dirt.
And I love like it. So many people have that memory with me. Like so many people have that memory of like, I remember when you just like, you could feel me buzzing, you could feel me like, and I'm like, can we just go outside for a second? Cause it like, it affects me. So I'm like, to have a conversation with you, I need us to come outside and just put our feet in the ground for a second. And then we can like continue like conversing. And it's so weird that you say that. Cause I didn't remember that until just now. Like, I forgot about that memory, but if you literally ask anybody that's come to a retreat of mine, met me in person, it's the first thing I do with people is I'm like, let's go outside and put our feet in the ground.
That is amazing. That is so cool. That's so cool that that's like a through line energy. And it's, I feel like, of course, my brain's like, oh my gosh, like that's almost like a through line of your brand. Like just your feet in the dirt.
Yes.
Oh my God. I love it.
And like before we got on, I'm like, oh, I just had to wash my fingernails of like the dirt.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Not that I'm saying to go post feet pics online for free, but I am saying that maybe you should like put some pictures of like feet in the dirt as like your brand, because that's such a like identifying energy.
It really
that I literally is. I think about all the time. I think that's beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Wow. What a way to like, I feel like to segue us into leadership.
Yeah.
Like the segue, the conversation is truly about leadership and about how Dani leads and what her framework is around leadership. But not only that, I want to talk a little bit about integrity in leadership and how maybe we have experienced some leadership that was not in alignment. And we just said like how we met each other in person. We're like, wow, you're way cooler in person. But I know I've met people and I'm like, you're not way cooler in person. Yeah. You're leading in a way that makes me feel sad or makes me feel like I want to like curl up in a little ball and I don't want to be led by you. And I think that the way that you have your leadership set up through the iconic model, is that how you phrase it?
Yeah, that's okay, yeah, the iconic framework, which is so funny because I was like, I like this word and it's everything that I teach. And then I made an acronym and I'm like, this is now all I talk about. And I love it. Yeah,
I love it. So if you want to talk a little bit about that, how you actually lead, because yeah. I think that not only is it, of course, it's how you lead, but and how you teach. But I think that for me, when I started looking at that, I could pinpoint people who were using that framework, maybe whether they know it or not, but yeah. I'm like, wow, I really trust that person now.
Ooh, yeah. And trust is built over time. It's not assumed in a space of authority. That's Katie yes. Kurtz. That's not Dani Driso. That's a Katie Kurtz quote. She's really cool. She's a trauma-informed therapist. She is online on all the things, but she taught me authority is okay. So trust is not assumed just because you're in a space of authority, which might be like a flashy sales number or whatever. And this is, I would just give my trust away to anyone absolutely. Who I thought was cool. I was like, oh wow. Like I completely trust you. And I think that's where the first kind of shaky ground comes from is the whole no like trust factor is actually a lot more nuanced than we think. So we think in what I was taught and what is very widely talked about as like, no, like trust. Someone will see you. Someone will like you. Someone will immediately trust you and then they'll pay you. And oftentimes what actually happens is someone sees you. And if you are leading from a place of a curated identity based on like milestones or anything like that, and it becomes, and here's the thing I will say a little side note on this, and I feel like we'll get to all of this. So I'm kind of going to jump around and then I'll bring it into a streamlined thing. But when you are not your full version of you online or through your marketing or how you're leading yourself and how you're governing spaces, whether that be in your DMs, in the comment section, in someone else's group, whatever, if you're not being the fullest expression of you, you are actually, it's not about like, oh, then you're not authentic, blah, blah, blah. It's actually, you're not giving your audience informed consent to buy from you. You're giving them false marketing really like what's like yeah when it's like oh here this lipstick's really great but I'm not going to tell you any of the ingredients, I'm just going to say this and all that stuff. And so if you have people who, I guess lipstick's a really good example, so it's like if you have someone who has like an allergy or something like that, or which could be equivalent to like trauma in a situation or something like that, they don't know that they're going to be allergic to what you're offering because you're not giving informed consent to your audience. And so that's where we have, I guess, like leadership dynamics, I would say, that are just mm-hmm. not on the same wavelength, or that they look really good in theory, but there might be something in there, like a value system that you didn't know that you were completely against. And so I believe that it's on the leader's point to give informed consent, and it's on the consumer's point or the person who's being led in those spaces to make sure that you're doing your due diligence to not just see what's a cool image, but to see, okay, cool. So this person sparked my interest and I'm going to let them earn my trust. I'm going to see what I can do to like see what it's like in those spaces, whether that's like baby stepping into a container, whether that's really making sure that you are doing your due diligence and looking at reviews or asking people how they were also taught and stuff like that, especially when you have such a diverse community online that might have neurodivergent people, might have people who have been influenced by systemic factors, might have people who hold more privilege than others. Like, you just don't know. And a really good way to not have to really like know everyone's in depth, like traumas and all that stuff, because you don't need to know. I always say, like, it doesn't actually matter. Just being aware of the nuance is enough, because then you know, okay, cool. The most professional thing that I can do is be my damn self, because anything other than that is false marketing.
Yes, I love that. And I love that you're like speaking on this, because I think it's going to help guide people. And one of my main things was like, I want to bring this to the spiritual community, because I think that in the spiritual community, we just blindly trust. And for me, I will ask people when they want to come into my containers, how long have you been following me? Like, how long have you been in my world? And if they're like, oh, I just got in here, I'm like, well, then let's just keep conversating here in public. Like, you know what I mean? Like in Instagram or DMs or whatever. And I actually don't want you to book anything with me. I want to actually be your friend before you become a client of mine. And I know that that seems so backwards to every single thing that we're taught in the online space, but I want to know you before you come in, because I want you to know me. I want you to trust the leadership that you're coming into, because there might be things that you don't like, and I don't want you to get in and feel stuck, because I know that that has happened to me, and I can almost guarantee it's happened to you, where you felt stuck. And with a leader that you're like, you showed up online in a way that was great, but then when I came into your container, I felt empty.
Yeah. Or you just say, well, I want that result. And then when you go into the container, you're like, oh, I didn't know how you got that result was going to be against how I function as a person or how my energy is or how my brain works or how whatever. And I think it's really interesting too, with like the idea, even for you to be like, I want to be friends with someone first, is very unique to you. And it may go against whatever that other people lead us, but it's very unique to you. And I don't know if you noticed, but and that's brilliant and that's amazing. That's how you work, right? So it's like, you, that's the most professional thing you do, is honor that version of you that is like, that's how you function. And for me, I don't know if you noticed, but I stopped calling myself a coach and started calling myself an educator, because that's who I am at a core. And I need to stop running away from it, because I teach outside, like education is really, and curiosity. And right now, like, I'm deep in the rabbit hole of cult psychology and how that applies to online, like all that stuff. I am just a knowledge energizer buddy. That I'm like, I love it. I love teaching it. And that's who I am in online and offline. And calling myself a coach, there's very different structures. So I would call myself an educator and a teacher first. So it's like, coming into my space, we don't necessarily need to be front. Like, it's a different energy, right?
Right.
So just even anyone who's listening to this, this is your permission to do things differently, no matter what, because even me and Sarah have two different approaches, which is so valuable in their own way.
Yes.
So yeah, because your approach is a lot more intimate, and my approach is a lot more, I guess, educational. Like even my intensives, it's more of like, okay, cool. So instead of thinking like, okay, I have to be a coach, so I have to like hold a lot of emotional space for people and all this stuff. Not that I don't do that already. I do. It's just part of who I am and who I be. But for me, it was really more about, okay, cool. I know I'm really good at strategizing, but not in a way that I've experienced it. I'm good at like the educational factors and talking about big concepts and breaking them down into small bite-sized chunks that you can digest in your own way versus feeling. So it's like, that's why I started calling myself more of like an educator, because when I really think about it, a lot of my work is more of that, let's learn together and process-based. And so I'm not results-based. That's what I just had to like deal with that with myself of like, I can't market results because I'm not a results-based coach or facilitator or educator. I market because I am an educator. And so here's the concepts that we are exploring together and unpacking together in a space and container where you can feel safe to be yourself without feeling judged and have a safe learning space. So I think that's like the difference even too, is like, I guess I'm like still kind of grappling with how to articulate this, but like, I'm not necessarily like a, hey, hand by hand, let's guide through the trenches together. I'm more of like, okay, cool. Here's the trenches. This is what they look like. Here's some layers that you might expect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's explore it together. Does everyone have your safety buddy? Like, let's go. Like, yeah, it's a very different energy. But that also means that my onboarding process and yours are going to be different, and my marketing and yours are going to be different. And that's so fabulous. And I think that in itself is the most in integrity thing that you can do, is honor that.
Yes. And I feel you on the same way of like that same wavelength of giving yourself permission to lead in the way that it feels good for you. Because that saying, like, oh, I want people to be my friend and then become my client, is like, that's so weird. That is so weird to say, even just for me, you know what I mean? Like, it's a new thing for me, but
it feels scandalous. Like, you feel like you're like naughty.
Oh gosh, look back at your track record. Like, if you look back kind of like at your all, literally everything that you've done, you're like, oh, I'm an educator. Or like, this is what I have done. And so when I look back, I'm like, oh, this is literally how every single person has come in that has seen the results they want. And I think that's the nuance, because like, yeah, we can market in any way we want. We can lead in any way we want. But did the person that came in, did they get what they needed from whatever we were presenting?
100%. And one thing that, a word that we've brought up a lot is nuance. So I'm wondering if now is the time for me to go through the iconic model, because that might be a bigger word that some people might not fully understand, because that's a new word for me this past year. So is that cool with you? I'm just going to go through. Okay. Everyone get settled and grab a coffee or something, because I'm going to bang right through it. And it's a lot of content, but don't worry. If you are like, whoa, I feel like I was just on a roller coaster and now I'm a little dizzy, that's okay. I talk about this stuff all the time, so I'm going to like spark notes it, but they're a bigger concepts that you can adjust for you. So the iconic leadership model or framework, as you want to call it, is an acronym. I called it iconic because number one, my brand is like icons and very like in the spotlight. So it makes sense. But also because I wanted a leadership that's timeless, that holds space for things like cancel culture, that holds space for things like rediscovering yourself or maybe owning up to mistakes in the past. Like I widely talk about how a lot of the times when I first started, a lot of my sales processes were really non-consensual. It's important for me to talk about that and to own that, right? And maybe own some things that were really cringy in the past and learn from them, right? So this framework kind of holds space for the entire humanity in your own way. So this isn't like a, well, Danny's iconic framework, let me just write it down. Like, but if you want to, cool, that's fun. But these concepts are bigger concepts that you adjust to yourself. They're not like, do them in the way that I do. And it'll make sense in a second. So we're going to start with the I. So the first I in iconic leadership is integrity. Now, I teach this a lot differently than if you've gone to any personal development events, you're going to be like, well, this is different. Because in personal development events, even like whether you came from an MLM, people are listening or anything like that, integrity is taught as you are a person of your word. And that's that. Like, if you're an integrity, you're a person of your word. Now, that makes sense. And I agree to, if you're going to say you're going to do something, it's like really kind of owning up to what you have set forth, right? It's building that trust factor. That's why it makes sense, is because trust is cultivated over time, right? Or trust is cultivated in micro moments. It's like falling in love. You don't fall in love in a single second. You learn and you discover about someone. So it makes sense that someone showing up for you regularly or someone showing up in the way that they said is going to build trust. It's going to deepen that relationship. Here is where I maybe add a little twist on it. I don't teach integrity as you say you're going to do something, so you do it. I teach integrity like, are you integrating your value system in your leadership? Are you in integrity with your value system? So one way that I explain this is my value system is I want to give everyone the best version of me possible. So I want to give you the best version of me on this call. I want to give my clients the best version of me. When I go in and facilitate in companies, I want to give them the best version of me. So sometimes that looks like maybe you are having a really off day, or maybe you're stressing about something or something like that. And something as simple as clearly communicating, hey, are you open to pushing our meeting back 5 minutes? Right. I even messaged you. I was like, hey, I'm going to be 2 minutes late, just to let you know, because I was running around trying to find a sweater. I was like, oh, I'm going to be late. One sec. Let me just like do this so that I can be cozy and present with you and not freezing my buns off in Canada. Right. So something as simple as that doesn't mean I'm not in integrity because I didn't show up in the right, in that exact moment. Now, for people who may suffer with chronic illness or might have family drama or might be in an environment where maybe it's not 100% safe all the time, this is your permission slip to say, what is your value system? And are you in integrity with that? Because it could be something as simple as, like, I remember living in a very volatile environment and having calls and having to like go to a coffee shop because it wasn't okay to be there. And so it's like, okay, cool. Can we reschedule? Can we do like the things that need to happen in that moment? I will also say that that looks for me like I have to teach a workshop or whatever. I said I was going to be there. There's 50 people waiting on me. I'm feeling really tired today. I'm not going to reschedule that because there's 50 people waiting on me. I'm going to drink a crap ton of coffee. And that's an integrity of my value system, because I know that I'm going to be the best version of me when I've got coffee on tap, right? Like whatever that looks like for you, it's a lot less like I said something, so I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more, am I integrity with my value system? That also goes for if you commit to something, and you feel like you're not getting what you need, maybe in that moment, it's not like backing out or whatever. It's okay, cool. My value system is that I get my needs met. So, and I make sure everyone is in the loop with that. And I clearly communicate that. So that might look like advocating for yourself, asking maybe a mentor if they could, if you could have extra time to talk about something, or if there's any accessibility stuff, like as mentioned, I have ADHD. And so I didn't know that like captions were a really big thing, but then it's like, if you have certain clients that might not have that sense available to them, it's like, that's also really important to have that accessibility. And someone who is in their value system, it might be that course isn't working for you, but maybe it's also that, okay, cool. How can I ask that leader for more support in this area so I can be the best version of me, if that yes. makes sense. Yes. So that's integrity. I'll go quicker through the other ones, because now I'm just like, okay, let's just unpack everything, but I know it'll unpack in its own time. So the first one is integrity. So that's integrity through value system. The second one is clear, or is communication, which I call like clear, direct, and kind. That doesn't mean that you are settling for things that you're not okay with. That means if you need something, you're advocating for yourself. That also means that I teach something called ABC, which is all behaviors communication. That is actually something that I learned in the education system when I was teaching kids, because not all kids are verbal. Yes. So all behaviors communication. So if you are, so I take this, put it online and say, everything that I'm doing to govern myself in the DMs, online and offline, in real life too, or my marketing and branding, all behaviors communication. ABC, what are you communicating? So if you look at your brand, what are you communicating? What expectations mm-hmm. are you communicating by simply like sharing what you're sharing online? This is where we get into informed consent that we were talking about earlier. So that's kind of in that communication thing. How mm-hmm. you speak in your content is how people are going to expect you to speak behind closed doors as well. So this yes. even for me, is I used to write content like pain points, blah, blah, blah. And then behind closed doors, I was like, how are you feeling today? Like, oh, that's okay. Oh, you're feeling like I was so process-based. So people loved it. But then some of my clients too were like, I remember one of my clients asking me like, hey, could we have a more structured call? Is that okay? And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Like, that's cool. But it's because yes. I used to do all my stuff so structured. Now like I'm a little bit more flowy.
It's like, this is how a post has to yes. be. This is yes. the structure. It has yeah. to be like this. And then they yeah. get in your container and you're like,
yeah. What happened to that? It was a really big thing when some of my first clients thought I was a type A person. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, you have been strongly mistaken.
I don't know about you, but when I would write content that way, it would take me hours.
So long. I felt like I was writing an essay.
Yes. Now I can write a piece of content in less than 5 minutes, boom, boom, boom. And like, I'll have it, yeah, like, it'll go like viral. And people always ask, we're both on TikTok. We both have, I think this weird thing that happened on TikTok. I don't know. For me, it was weird. Like I went viral. I have a ton of followers on there. And people always say, well, what's the secret? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't have a secret. I just get on and I'm myself. That's it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I smoke a little weed and I make a TikTok video and I don't know why it goes viral. It just does. And they're like, yeah, but what is it? Like, are you like, what's the thing? And I'm like, no, it's just me. It's just me. I am not hiding anything. Like,
yeah,
it's just that. And I know, cause I watch your TikToks. Like, follow you. Like, I know that's what you do. Like, I know you're not like re-recording videos 500 times.
No.
To get like, you're just, it just is what it is. And it's funny that I look back at my past posts and I'm like, I know that took me like 4 days to write that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not even my voice.
So funny. Yeah. And by the way, TikTok makes no sense. The algorithm doesn't make sense. So if you're like, I don't get TikTok, that's okay. Cause I like went viral one time. Like I went viral for the most random things. Like one time it went viral because I was talking about like taking a space with your body and body neutrality. That made sense. So I was like, okay, cool. Like people want to talk about that. And then iconic leadership went viral. And then a video of me introducing myself went viral because everyone's like, are you Penelope Garcia from that crime? Like, are you that? And I'm like, no. And then someone was like, are you Jade from Victorious? And I'm a little too old for that. But everyone was like, is that who you are? Like, what? And I'm like, no. And then something else went viral. Oh yeah. The other day I literally just did a TikTok lip syncing because I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm shadow banned. And then I'm almost at 100,000 followers from that one. I jumped like 50,000 followers from one single of me being like, guys, I think I'm shadow banned. And they were like, you know what? I love it. Follow, like, and I'm like, what? It makes no sense. Like, it's so funny, but that's okay.
For your on that platform, I think is the iconic leadership platform.
Oh, it totally is. Oh, I just
the more you are you, the more people like you.
Yeah, 100%. And I literally just dick around on TikTok. That's all I do. I just like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'm so funny. Like, and also I'm so excited because I started my YouTube and all I do is like edit videos. And I've always loved editing videos. It's not like I was like, oh my gosh, like maybe I should do this venture. It's always been a part of who I am. I just avoided it for a really long time. But yeah, so I'm like, oh, I don't know, but it's so fun. And all I do is like call my partner in. I'm like, oh, come over here. Look how funny I am. And I make him sit down and watch 6 minutes of me. And I'm like, did you see it? Oh my God, I'm so funny. Or I'll like send him my TikToks and be like, ha ha ha. And he's like, okay, cool. Thanks so much. Thanks for doing that.
My partner speaks Spanish, right? He speaks some English, but we speak in Spanish. And so I'll send him like my TikToks and he's like, because it's also nuanced for the United States. Like he's not from the United States.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, I don't understand this.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh. That makes so much sense. And also I'm excited because that actually ties into nuance too. So yes. I'll do, okay. So integrity, communication, ABC, all behaviors, communication. Then O is ownership. So that's like owning your behaviors, your actions, your thoughts, also ownership over your social media platform. So it's like, I'm going to talk about consent in a second, because that's one of the final C's. But when it comes to iconic leadership and the ownership factor, it's if you are following me, you are consenting to all of me. So I'm going to
say that.
Yes. You consent to all of me because you actually have to consent. It literally says, do you want to follow this person? And you say, yes, put them on my timeline. So if you're mad at your internet right now, because it's showing you something you don't want to see, go ahead and just mute, unsubscribe, block, do what you need to do. That's okay. And if you're like, they're going to be so upset that I'm not following them, go ahead and mute them. They don't know. They'll never know. I don't care. And if someone's like, did you see my TikTok? You'll be like, oh, I didn't see that one. Do you want to show me right now? And that's okay. You never have to talk about it. You're welcome for making your life easy. Okay. So that's ownership, but also ownership in the fact of like, I'm going to own my mistakes. And if I say something that is out of integrity with my value system and someone calls me in or calls me up with that, it is my job to check this. This is like a little three-step thing that I do. So this is a little golden nugget. for dealing with criticism, but I always check the source. So who's saying it, what mm-hmm. is what they're saying, and like, what is, I guess, the peer reviewed sources behind what they're saying of like, okay, cool. Like, did I say something that was out of integrity? Did they maybe call me in because I said something that was a little insensitive or something, and I had no idea? So it could be something as simple as maybe a sales conversation was non-consensual and someone's like, hey, like, this doesn't feel okay to me. And it's up to you to check that source and be like, okay, cool, valid. Whatever they're feeling is valid. Then you're going to check yourself, check your value system, and check your behaviors, check what you said. And then it's like, check the source, check yourself, and then adjust accordingly. Does this have to be an apology? Is this something that you need to adjust in your content? Is this something that is simply maybe a family member says, don't post your butt on the internet? And you're like, yeah, but I talk about like taking up space with my body, so I'm definitely going to post my butt on the internet, and it's not hurting anyone, so I'm going to keep posting my butt on the internet, right? I did that, and I keep posting my butt on the internet now. And that was something that I didn't have to adjust. So that is the ownership factor. Then we go into nuance. Nuance is the layers of your humanity. So this is where you look through a lens of, okay, cool, not everyone has the same lived experience, education, privilege as me, like flat out. I hold a crap ton of privilege. I'm white. I live in Canada, and would be considered middle class-ish, right? So it's like I hold a lot of privilege. So that might not be everyone's experience that comes to my space, and that's okay. And recognizing that is really important. Also, small things like, okay, if someone emails me with spelling mistakes, this is actually how I teach it in community containers, as I say, someone posts something on Facebook or emails you and there's spelling mistakes. Is your first thought, I can't believe that person didn't put enough effort and time into this email? Or is your first thought, are they English speaking? May they have a learning disability? Are they neurodivergent? Is maybe there something they're privilege-wise, like educational privilege, that they might not possess? Like, are they working at it in themselves?
People still care about spelling mistakes?
Oh, yeah.
Do they? Oh,
I don't.
I'm like floored that people would still care about that.
Right. And I make up words all the time and all that stuff. It's fine. But even with that even the thought process of maybe there's a miscommunication, someone asks you a question about your content because they misinterpret it. It's not always an attack. It could be something as simple as maybe someone has different lived experience. And maybe they're inquiring about something because mm-hmm. for them, what you posted was like quite offensive or something like that, but you don't know because you don't know what you don't know. Right. So it might be something like that where there's a nuance there, or maybe someone inquires about something that you said online or has questions about it because they aren't English speaking. Like, they might not have English as their first language, and maybe they have misinterpreted something. They want clarification. Like, there are so many compassionate things that go into nuance that we don't think about because we're just taught to be perfect and right all the time. Yes. And it's okay to be wrong and mess up, and that's perfect and fine and human, and just do our best and do the best we can until we know better, and then we do better, right? That's like that Maya Angelou quote. So that's nuance. And so there's like the layers of the experience. Then intention is the other eye. Intention is, this is my intention for this space. These are the expectations of this space. This is all the intention of how you hold space, the intention when you enter every room, or how you are communicating, what you're communicating, what's the intention behind it. And intention doesn't cancel out impact. I think this is something that we don't talk about enough in the entrepreneurial space, which is kind of the idea. And as someone who's like, be yourself, own who you are, this might be a little jarring to hear come from me. But if I have an impact on someone, and I'm not talking about my family member who's like, don't post your butt on the internet, that's impacting me, right? It's like, no, it's not. Like, unfollow me, you're fine, right? I'm talking about if you may have had a conversation with someone where they feel backed into a corner or something like that, or they might feel like quite offended by something or something like that. You know what I mean? I say offended because there's so many like nuances within that, where it's like, mm-hmm. you might say something that you, with your intention, you came off as helpful, but maybe it was super invasive and unhelpful. And mm-hmm. you don't know that because maybe you haven't experienced the trauma or lived experience that that person experienced. So really when it comes to intention, it's like, I know that my intention, I'm going to take ownership over my intention, and I'm also going to understand my impact and know that mm-hmm. when I do take ownership over all of that, I'm looking at that, check the source, check myself and adjust accordingly. The final two C's are consent and capacity. This is important because consent is important in all areas, kids. So when it comes to consent, I look at this like social media consent. I look at this also as consensual sales and consensual, like social media consent also goes into consent in the DMs. So if you imagine walking into someone's house and you're like banging on their door, and so they like open the door and you're like, do you feel like shit? Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, you better. Yeah, I know that your life sucks. Look at this house. This house is shit. Yeah, you're shit. But you know what? If you hire me, you're not going to be shit anymore. Because I'm awesome. And they're like, excuse me. Like maybe they just went through a breakup. Maybe they're like dealing with some stuff. Maybe they're in the middle of doing their taxes and you're just opening up the door, yelling at them about how they should be better. And the only way to be better is to be your client. That's non-consensual. That's not cool. Also, pain points is non-consensual because what it does is it leverages someone's pain into a manipulation tactic mm-hmm. to get them to do something you want them to do, not something that they want to do. So there's a difference between if someone is like, oh, this is really interesting. Like, I would love to learn more about this. Asks you a question. You answer the question. You're like, yeah. It's like, okay, when is this thing? Oh, it's this time. Okay, cool. Where is it? It's here. Okay, cool. Down when I maybe can afford it, or maybe they're going through something. It's not consensual to look at their lived experience and say that's invalid because I want a sale right now. Like that's not okay. Yeah.
That like gave me such the ick,
right?
Like,
yeah.
But it's normalized. People sell like that to me and I'm like,
yeah.
What is this? Like this is so weird, and it's weird that it's still happening.
Yeah. It's so weird normalized.
That it's still happening. It's weird that it's still normal to sell that way and like objection. I'm like, no, if you say no, that's it. That is it.
Respect people's no. Yeah. Yeah. Respect their no. And even I know you watched the video of me getting chased. I got chased out of a leadership event by someone who was trying to sell me something. And I had to go like hide in my car because they literally ran out after me. And like, this was right before the pandemic hit. So this was not that long ago. So it was very widely taught. And I even had friends who are really incredible leaders. They're absolutely fabulous and amazing human beings. And I remember a couple times if I confided in them that I was having a slow sales month or something like that, they would just be like, well, have you reached out to people? Have you gone into their DMs? And I remember thinking like, oh, okay, maybe they have something that I don't know about. Maybe that's the secret thing that I don't know. So what I'm going to do is, even though that feels uncomfortable, and that's the thing where it's like being uncomfortable or out of your comfort zone, right, is not the same as like abandoning any sense of your value system. Yeah. 100%. Any sense of your value system. That's not the same. So if you have to like abandon it to get uncomfortable, you're going against yourself and it's not going to be sustainable. And also it's not going to probably be consensual even with you, because you're not even consenting to it within yourself. And now you're forcing it upon someone. So no is no in all areas. And even with that, when we talk about capacity, I think of it this way, is if you have a mug, if you have a coffee mug, this is how I teach it to little kids. So if you have a coffee mug, this is my 6-year-olds that I taught this summer fully understand capacity and consent. It's very cute. Oh, and consent is like respecting people's autonomy too. I will say that. I always say that. It's like, I am my own person. You are your own person. I respect you. And I have that expectation of respect in return. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we respect each other and we are both two separate people living two separate lives and understanding the nuances within that. Okay. Back to capacity. Capacity is, hey, I have a coffee mug and my coffee mug has hot coffee-ish. It's kind of lukewarm now. And if I took boiling hot coffee and I kept pouring coffee more than the mug could hold, what would happen? And it's very cute because little kids always say, it would make a mess. And I go, yes, it would make a mess. And what would we have to do? We would have to put the coffee cup down. We'd have to clean up the mess before we did anything moving forward. Now, if you can only hold so much mentally, emotionally, financially, energetically, environmentally, anything, and you try to put way more than your cup can hold, it is going to make a mess. If you try to hold more emotionally than you can, it's going to boil over. You're going to have to fix some relationships before you can move forward. It is going to make a mess. If you do financially, you're going to have to fix some financial stuff before moving forward. If you do it environmentally, you're going to have to fix some, like, your environment in order to move forward. It always comes back to what, like, what can you actually hold? And yes, go for your dreams. I'm a huge advocate and like reach for the stars, go for your dreams. Hell yeah. And respect your capacity along the way. I have a really hard time doing this with myself with like work hours, because I am obsessed with what I do and I love it and I could do it all the time. And so a lot of my hobbies have like slowly seeped into also my work. So for me, sometimes I have to take myself away from my work or else it will boil over, and it will boil over in me feeling undervalued and underpaid when I'm the one putting in so much extra work and being like, oh, it's a hobby now, but then you feel undervalued and underpaid. So you just have to figure out when you're holding your cup, if it spills over, what that looks like for you. And so when we go back to consent, that also looks like clear communication and honoring consent in the fact of, hey, are you open to doing this? Are you open to having a conversation about this? Do you have the capacity to do this? I'm sorry, I don't have the bandwidth to hold a conversation in my DMs right now, and honoring that no. So when we look at the iconic framework altogether, it's really like how to be not an a-hole, but also it's a lot of things that people don't fully understand, and it's not taught widely. So a fun fact about this framework is I actually built it while I was teaching this summer, because I noticed that the way that I teach and govern my classrooms is very different than how I govern the online space, because yes, the online space has different quote unquote rules, subjective rules. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that in my classrooms, I talk a lot about consent and capacity. So for littles, and I taught kids from, they're about 6 years old to 16, 17, and teaching them like confidence and leadership skills in theater and advocating for themselves. And so a lot of the things that I would talk to them about was capacity. So if you need a timeout, and we have a clear communication dialogue, like my spaces are very collaborative. So my kids knew that I'd have maybe like I'd be talking to my classroom and I'd say, okay, what's everyone's capacity like today? Can you show me with your hands? And they'd show me with their hands. I'd say, okay, great. Can I take this much of that capacity of attention? So I'm pinching my fingers for those who can't see. So can I take this much of your attention for the next little bit? Is that all right with you? And they'd be like, yeah, that's okay. Then before snack time, I'd say, hey, what's everyone's capacity like for attention or emotion, or what's your capacity like for going outside or whatever? And they'd know to be very vocal with me. And I'd have like little six-year-olds. This is why I said you could teach this to adults, because we're all big kids. This is why I teach the same way now online as I did in that. And I'm still really like in that transition phase of really transitioning everything over. But a kid will come up to me and be like, hey, Danny, I have this much capacity. And they'll like make their fingers real small. It's very cute. And they'll say, can I go for a walk? And I say, of course you can. How long do you need? 5 minutes. Okay, that sounds perfect. Do you need someone to come with you, or would you like to be alone? I'd like to be alone. Okay. Are you okay if someone stands at the door to make sure that you're safe? Yes. Okay, cool. That is a consensual conversation.
Yes. That is I love hearing that. That's how I communicate with my daughter.
Yeah.
So she goes to her dad's on the weekends, comes home Sunday. And when she comes home, I'm like, what do you have the capacity for? Do you need to stay in your room by yourself? Do you want to hang out with me? Do you need time to be like, you know, on your iPad, screen time, read a book? Like, where are you at right now? Like, where are you at in your life?
Yes.
Instead,
I love that so much.
Because when I was a kid, it was, you come home, now you got to clean your room. You got to do this. It's like, you have to do everything that I say to do without even asking, what do you have the capacity to hold?
Yeah.
And so it's so beautiful to hear that you're teaching kids in a, like, obviously it's just, you know, I'm just teaching my daughter, but in a classroom, like teaching them,
because
then guess how they're going to guide their friendships. That's my biggest thing. Guess how they're going to guide their friendships. I love hearing my daughter. I walked in on her and her friend like a couple of months ago. They're on the floor crying, just like bawling together. And I'm like, everything okay? They're like, we just need to let it out. We just have to let it out right now. And I'm like, do you need a support system? Like another, do you need an adult or are you guys okay? And they're like, no, we're fine. We just need to let it out. I'm like, okay, good. Just let me know if you guys need a snack, water, whatever you need. I'll come back in a few minutes. Just, you know, make sure you guys are okay. But it's like, now you get to see these children holding space for other children, which is like, yes, we get to teach them and we as an adults, you know, we get to do it. But my favorite thing is to see children taking what they learned and then going with it into other, like with other kids.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. And one of the things that we also talk about in my classrooms is like consent, obviously, but I teach to like, be good to yourself, be good to those around you, like be a good friend to yourself, be a good friend to everyone or to your friends around you. So that's one of the expectations in my classrooms and my spaces. And it's the same thing, like even in my membership, like I'm like, be a good friend to yourself. And if you need something, advocate for yourself. So that's really important to me. And one of the things is if someone says no, that's okay. Like that is like, no is a full sentence. They know that no is a full sentence and that's okay. That's two things that they like will repeat and it's very sweet. And so even one thing is at the end of every week, we'd sign each other's shirts. And I said, if someone says it's not okay to sign their shirt, that's okay. It doesn't mean that they don't want to be friends with you. It doesn't mean whatever. It just means that they're not okay with that right now. And that's all right. And I had one of the older kids go to one of the little kids and was like, oh, do you want to sign my t-shirt? And I said, it's okay if they don't want you to sign their t-shirt, because they probably just like want it without markings on it. But that doesn't mean that they might not want to sign your t-shirt. So make sure that you have a really consensual conversation about that. And so I heard her walk up and she's like, can I sign your t-shirt? And the little like 6-year-old was like, no, thank you. And she's like, okay, that's okay. Would you like to sign my t-shirt? And he's like, yes, please. And she's like, okay, that's okay. And it's so cute and sweet. And also they know that even for instructors and facilitators to ask consent, like, do you have the capacity for this? I had a bunch of all my kids are going up to other instructors. Do you have the capacity to talk right now? Like, do you? They're like, okay, yeah, this is Danny's kid. And it's so funny because even stuff like that, or knowing how to honor even pronouns and stuff like those are conversations that we have in the classroom, land acknowledgements. Those are conversations that we have in the classroom. It's like having that just be normal and not be like a big deal. Like for adults, there's probably someone listening to this who's like, what? Mind blown. But it's something that needs to be normalized. Mm-hmm. So it's just a conversation. It's just casual. Right. And so that's what I mean when I say more in my spaces are educational, as you can probably have guessed. Like, it's very like, hey, here's some concepts. Let's figure it out together. It's okay if you mess up. That's all right. And one of the big things that within that is like self-advocacy and self-trust, which go into communication and go into nuance and a lot of the things, is even with my kids, by the end of the week, they know my intention is I'm going to set you up for the best success that you can. So in order to do that, like I always say you don't have to like me and you don't have to trust me. So that's day one. I say, you don't have to like me, you don't have to trust me. And throughout the week, I say, I'm more concerned with you trusting yourself and advocating for yourself. And I understand that because I am the instructor here, I am the person of authority. And so my job is to keep you safe. My job is to make sure that we keep track of time. And I do this the first day talk is always, this is my expectations, even like within my containers, like my job is to keep us track on time. My job is to do this. My job is to do this. And your job is to learn. Your job is to grow. Your job is to trust yourself and tell me if you need more support. And I even had a kid, it was really smoky. There were some forest fires in BC and we were outside. And I live in Alberta, so it was like far away, but it was quite smoky outside. We had to go outside for a little bit and we couldn't go back in because they were rigging the theater with lights. So it was unsafe to obviously have like lights and children, right? Like huge, heavy lights and children. So we had to stay outside for a little bit. One of the kids said, oh, it's super smoky outside, Danielle. And I don't mean to complain, but I can't breathe very well. And I said, okay, thank you so much for advocating for yourself and telling me what you need from me in this moment. The reality, I wouldn't say the reality of the situation, but what I said is we actually can't go outside or inside right now, but do you have the capacity to stay outside for 10 more minutes and then we can find a safe entrance to go inside? And she's like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. I said, great. If you feel like you can't take that anymore, come back to me. And I'm willing to like, listen, of course. But one of the things that really stuck out is anytime a kid told me something or shared something with me, or some type of feedback, it was always prefaced with, I don't mean to complain. And I think that's why in a lot of spaces, it's also taught like this, where if you have something to say in the company, if you have something to say to a leader, if you have something to say to a mentor, if you want to ask for more time in some space, that it's seen as complaining, which sometimes it's not. And I think when we talk about like the mentorship space, if you need like more assistance or extra calls or something like that, that's probably something that you should compensate the person for, because that person's time, energy, emotional capacity, all that stuff, bandwidth. But if you need it, it's like asking for that, even if that's an option, and seeing where, like, do you have the capacity for this? What does that look like? Would that include a more financial commitment? What does that look like? Could we adjust in this way? What does that look like for you? And having those open dialogues are really huge. And even from a business standpoint, mm-hmm. as if people are working with jobs and stuff like that, I know that advocating for yourself looks like you're being a bad team member, quote unquote, which I think is BS. And what you could frame it in a way as is, hey, do you have the capacity to talk about this one thing? I want to do the best job possible. My intention here is to really get this done or way before the due date or whatever, like whatever you want to say. What can we do to work together on making that happen? And in order to make that happen, I would love to be supported in these ways. How does that feel for you? What does that look like for you? A lot of this dialogue is normal to some and not normal to others. And it's something that was really interesting to notice that it wasn't normal to everyone, because I feel like this has just kind of become second nature to me. But we even had some teaching assistants who was like, it's so interesting that you use these words. Like, what? My mind is blown. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, that's just like how we speak in the spaces that I cultivate. But that didn't just happen. That happened because I did the work to start to learn those things. And some of it can be learned from a textbook, but a lot of it is learned through the classroom process of growing, whether you think of your business or your life or whatever as a classroom. It's like those micro moments add up to macro moments, and you have to learn through it. You have to grow. You also have to mess up and course correct and learn along the way. And you can't just learn something by seeing it, intellectualizing it, and just being amazing at it. If you can, you are superhuman and you are amazing. And for most of us, especially if you have like neurodivergence or something like that, it looks like a little rockier of a path, because we're meant to learn in a different way than a linear information-based way. It's a lot more process-based and feeling things and moving through things and messing up and feeling frustrated and trying really hard and then going back and being like, oh, like this sucks. And if you're in a place that you're like, this sucks, that's okay. Welcome to being a human being. That doesn't mean you're bad or wrong or that you're messing up your manifestations. If it feels like it's shitty for a second, just feel shitty for a second and then move forward.
I always like my biggest thing with my clients is like, we walk the lines of pain and pleasure. Like it is you, like we talk about boundaries, we talk about embodiment. And I always say, if you're going to embody pleasure, you will have to also consent to embodying pain, because you will not have pleasure without pain, because they're just going to be things you're going to have to work through. You're human. Like you're going to have days that suck. But on the other side of it, you will have days that are awesome, but you can only go so deep into pleasure as you are willing to go so deep into pain. And I think that's like what I teach with boundaries. Like in if you're breaking other people's boundaries all the time, or you're letting people break yours, like you're consenting to that. And you're also like, that is going to be how it works. It's going to be how it is. So we talk a lot in my space about energetic boundaries and about spiritual boundaries and just, you know what I mean? Like not entering into other people's energy. I'm a psychic and it's just like kind of what I do. And what I teach is, do not read other people's energy without their permission. It is like rule number one, when someone comes in and learn about tapping into their gifts, rule number one is like, never, ever, ever read somebody's energy without permission. They're like, yeah, but I see it. I'm like, then you need to unsee it. It's literally none of your business. And like, it's one of like the hardest things I think to teach people is, with that. And I think what you're saying is like, people are so, this is so new to people in your world. And when they come to me, they're like, oh, I thought you could just like, you just do it. And I'm like, no, No.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's so interesting too. Cause you know that like, I say like I read voices, but I can like feel people's energy, like in their voice mm-hmm. from like yes. doing so much work. And I definitely believe it's like also like a spiritual gift is like, I just like know things yes. like people talk and I'm like, oh no, no, no. Like blah, blah, blah. But even with that, I had to like, I have to stop myself and be like, that is non-consensual. Like literally in my brain be like, stop it. That's non-consensual. And even it's like equivalent to like reading someone's emails. And then, and okay, so this is actually so good because writing pain point content is like reading someone's emails and taking that email and putting it on the internet and then saying, yeah, that sucks, right? Yeah, you should pay me then. Like that's almost what it is. Or like taking someone's, like that idea of even being like, oh, I feel like they need me. I feel like that. So I'm going to reach in. I'm going to go in there. Well, that person might not know that yet. And that person might need to deal with their own shit before they come to you. And so that's non-consensual to utilize your gifts in a way that manipulates people in that way. And I think that's important to say. And I will say one thing on boundaries is one thing that helped me if for any people pleasers who are listening yes. is I had to stop seeing boundaries as a punishment and more see them as yes. a gift. For advocating for someone's capacity. So mm-hmm. I say like boundaries is a gift to tell you how you can get the best version of me. You mm-hmm. can choose to take that sentence. You can make it your own, but I know that my value system is for you to get the best version of me. And in order for that to happen, these things have to happen. In order for that to happen, this is like what this looks like. And I had someone in a workshop a couple weeks ago who said, aw, it's like a plant. And I was like, what? And they're like, it's like a plant where you get like the care instructions. And I was like, that is the cutest thing. So if that helps you to think about boundaries of like your care instructions, I think that's beautiful. And when we stop seeing it as like the thing that broke the camel's back, essentially like the straw yes. that broke the camel's back, we also stop thinking of boundaries as like a vicious thing. Yes. I get a lot of questions of like, how do you implement boundaries without being mean? And I'm like, well, the first thing is clear communication and direct is always amazing because normally if you're being quote unquote mean or brutal, like brutal honesty, it's because you haven't asked someone's capacity to share that. And so you don't, so it's brutal because you're literally like disregarding their human yes. experience in this moment to like input your agenda. So that could be brutal. And also because it's not clear and direct, it's often mm-hmm. like quote unquote sugarcoated, but sugarcoated with criticism, not necessarily like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's not clear and direct. So when you have clear, direct boundaries, it works out really well because it's like, hey, this is how you get the best version of me. Like, hey, I actually didn't love the way that you were, or like, hey, are you open to having a conversation? And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, sure. Do you have time to talk about like what happened earlier? Yeah, cool. Okay, great. It really affected me when you said this in this tone. I was wondering if I could figure out what like the energy was behind that so we could have clear communication with that, like something as simple as that. And then I would just be really thankful if you didn't use that tone with me. Now, if you've had a lot of family stuff, I have, that's not going to work probably because if you have anything happening, a control dynamics or anything like that, it's not as simple as I'm just going to implement a boundary. For that, it might be baby stepping your way into spaciousness mm-hmm. or doing the best you can until you can do better. Because yeah. sometimes you don't have the privilege financially, environmentally or whatever to actually have that space. Culturally even, like you might not have that privilege to yes. have that space. So do the best you can until you can do better.
Mm, I love that. Wow. I love this conversation. This was so awesome. This was like definitely a training. So this was like such a privilege that we got to listen to this and like, I'm going to get to put it like out in public. I feel like this should definitely have been paid. Like a paid right? training. This was awesome.
You can Venmo me. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone Venmo me $1. No,
$1. Kidding. Yes.
$1. No, it was literally, this is my gift. And I hope that it gets into as many hands as possible, because I think that these are conversations that we need to start having more regularly. And by the end of this conversation, you probably understand why I call myself an educator versus a coach now.
Yes, exactly. And I love that. And I love that you're still in that, in the online space, like quote unquote coaching world. You're yeah. in that world, but I just read actually a quote that I think is a great way to like just
put this all together was when two friends come together, they are actually creating a new world. And so that kind of, I know, right? It's so beautiful, the quote. And it made you like, it makes me think like you're creating a new world in something that already exists. And yeah. So the foundation is already there and the people are there. That's the thing. It's like the world is there with the people in it, but you have created something new. I believe that you have created something new. Now, obviously these concepts have been taught and all over, you know, but the way that you've put it together is new and it is, a new world for people to come into. And I just love that. And I love that your entry point into your world is your content. It's not that I've got to go pay you and I have to like jump all these hoops to get into this. It's like your content is the world that you're creating and you get kind of more of it, right? As you go into the journey of whatever it is in the space that you hold, but you're creating this world that it's like, I want this information free, public. I want you to know what it is and this framework for you to use it. And so I just thank you so much, like for the bottom of my heart for sharing this, because I think that specifically in the spiritual community, I don't think that it's more of like outward pushing and all of the things. I think that the spiritual community has like really taken a step back and kind of like come almost contracted in because they don't like the way that it has been taught sales, marketing, all of the things, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah. Like, and they might be scared to mess it up, which is, and that's the thing. It's like that. Okay. Well, that was wrong. So can someone tell me how to do like what? And I think that's the exploration that I'm just really excited to hold space for. And like you said, it's like this stuff is kind of out in the open and the exploratory journey is kind of like, okay, come on in, like, let's do it. And I always think of it like, if you look at my content, it's almost like a general studies course. Like if you did take education, like a different, what is it? After high school education? I don't know what they call it in the States, but post-secondary is what they call it in Canada. And so if you took that, it would be like, okay, cool. Here's a general studies course. So here's the general information. And then you'd be like, okay, cool. I kind of like that. I think I kind of want to take the next course up. And so you would go into a next course and it's a smaller course. It's more condensed. It's more in depth. And then you're like, and that was how I kind of like see my membership. And it's like the next level is like, okay, cool. I kind of want to major in this. And then it's like, okay, let's do it. Like, let's do that. And then I always like joke about how my, like my private coaching is like a PhD in being yourself. Yes. So it's like, that's like, it's like, that's your master's in being yourself is in like, these frameworks are just like that entry point into it of like, what do you want? And I think it's really valuable to open up this conversation and leave it open for people's interpretation to start these conversations. And I will note that like, a lot of these concepts that I teach are not new. And I will say a lot of the super sketchy, sales content, all that stuff is actually, and like leadership style is actually a lot of like colonized leadership style. So like the principles that I teach are not new and they're not like, they didn't come out of me. They're things that I've learned in so many different spaces from like the vast amount of spaces and people who I've learned from and the different energies that I've been in and the educational systems that I've had the privilege to teach on or teach in and like all these different things. So it's definitely a lot of pieces of a puzzle that I just put together in my own way, but I do want to give credit where credit's due and say this type of leadership happened long before the Americas were colonized. I will say that. And it didn't start with Danielle Dries. So the Calgarian who was born in Canada, but I will, I just wanted to say that because I think that's important to also note and recognize and just recognize my own privilege in that. And just urge people to go look at shit, like go research shit. Like, even if this intrigue you and you're like, oh, I like this, but I don't know if I want to learn from Danny. And I think that's why it's so great to have so many different styles of coaches. Cause someone who, whether that be like, you don't hold the same privilege as I do, or there's different nuances of in your life or lived experience that be like, oh, okay, cool. Like Danny's not the teacher for me. Or maybe it could be as simple as like, I talk too fast. And it's like, okay, cool. Go research this shit. Go look for yourself. Go look at different styles and trauma-informed leadership and some coaches who are talking about trauma-informed copywriting and all these, like it's so available to you, but we just have to get real loud about it.
Yes. But I think the way that you present it, in the way that you kind of come up with it, you're creating a new world. And
thanks. Yeah, just, I feel it.
Yeah, I feel it. And I'm just so honored that one, I'm like in your space, like, and just being able to like connect with you. And I agree also with this is not a new concept to be taught,
yeah.
But I think that it's a new concept that is being brought into a space that has a lot of manipulation, that has a lot just like sketchy things happening. And that's kind of how I am like teaching my clients, like, you need to learn how to live off the land, bro. Like, that's like my deal is like, how can we do this? Like, and I don't mean like go and you need to have a garden or whatever. That's not what I mean. It's more of like, what is the land telling you? Like, what's going on with seasons? Like, just like the external environment. And plan your energies according to that, right? You're not going to be frolicking around in the snow as you would in the summer. Like, you're going to have a lower energy in the winter, and that's okay. And so like, for me, I think that's what we're teaching in our styles is like, it's okay to come into this world and be like, wow, this is really new, but also it actually feels old.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing is like, this feels familiar in an ancient, like really good way. Like, it feels familiar in my body. Mm-hmm. It feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Stepping out of your comfort zone does not mean you're uncomfortable. They're not like mutually like inclusive with each other. And I think that's something similarly we teach is that stepping out of your comfort zone is not something where you have to be like out, you're having these out of body experiences where you're like so uncomfortable. And I just love that you're bringing this information, not only to the online space, but to kids and to just, you know, everyone, like businesses and companies and specifically corporate America that like, you know, is toxic. Like it is what it is. Everybody knows it. Like, we just go along with it, but we don't have to, and we can start to change the conversations, which will change the system. And I think that's like, probably our, like, I know for me, that's like my biggest thing is like, let's change the conversation so we can change the systems. And that is what you're doing. You've created a system that creates new conversations and that people will start to come in and feel good in it.
Yeah. And that's the goal. And I think that no matter what we are sharing and teaching on and stuff like that, it's unique because it's like filtered through our own experience. So we can talk about it from a different perspective. And I think even where I said that before, I used to not talk about like teaching kids or not talk about being in theater. Like, I'll talk about like those parts, but it's such a huge, it's not my identity, but it's a huge, huge reason why I see the world the way that I do. It's a huge reason in my problem solving. It's a huge thing that influences the creation of branding. It's a thing to be a fully immersive experience. Cause that's what I truly believe is my brand is a fully immersive experience. Like, you walk in and you're immersed, baby, you're in the world. And like, having that be something is so filtered through those things that have made me who I am. And so for the people who are listening, it's like, you have to be really freaking loud about it. That doesn't mean that you're shouting. That doesn't mean that you're puffing your chest and trying to Dragon Ball Z out your energy. That doesn't mean that. It just means that you don't shut up about it. It doesn't matter the volume knob. It means that you don't shut up about it, because someone out there is going to be like, holy fuck, this is everything that I've always wanted to learn and need for myself. And I can't wait to make this my own.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you so much. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And one last thing, just to like have it like end us with something. If there is one kind of message you would want to send to everyone, if you could like sum it up in a sentence, I know that's super, super hard. There's like one kind of like, you can have a few more than one sentence, like, but just like one thing that you really want people to know, maybe just not even just about you or just kind of like about what it is, like who you are in this world and how you show up and how you want to create an impact. I would love to know as we kind of like end our podcast.
Yeah, I will leave it with my favorite sentence that I ever randomly created, probably on a Tuesday or something, which is, you're fabulous. Stop being so secretive about it. And that's like, you're fabulous. Stop being so secretive about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. And I can't wait to put this live.